the 365 Mrs. Center show today. You've seen our headline. Our headline is ability to catch up with your favorite features in the Microsoft 365 roadmap. We have some interesting stuff around iOS SMIME. I took a closer look. And there's one there, the Zap enabled parameter, which I'm like, whoa, what? You're reading that. But anyway, let's kick into it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
All right, good now. Hey, good now, Suzanne Hunt, who made it on time this time, same time zone as me. Hello down there in the Waikato. We've got Ian Moran and Sarah Huzzy, and those of you, the thousands who remain silent during our live streams. I'm Daryl Deservis.
I'm Daniel Glenn. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I am excited about zapping, Daryl. I'm all for this zap. So I can't wait for us to get to the announcement about Zap-enabled parameter.
Yeah, it feels like a fly spray, but I guess it's a clever acronym. Yeah, we had this one called Black Flag, and in the 80s it had this really crusty kind of animation where it was like, whoopsh, and then there was Louis the Fly with Mortine. We are not sponsored by those two fly sprays, Pierce Repellents this week. We've got Tammy as well, who's joined us, and Phil. Shafina. Hello, Shafina. Thanks for joining us as well. Happy Monday, Tuesday over here. Daniel, what's your impressions of this week as we look at the Message Center?
There's some productivity enhancements that we could talk about with, you know, notes and such. But there was a lot of, in my feed, updates to messages that were already there. I think I had three or four that were previous announcements that have just been updated. And so it got thrown up to my top of my feed. But the rest of them, I was like, eh. The one that did get me excited was the RSS feed for the individual features. And so that I think we're going to talk about that in a second, but that probably was for me for this week new announcements. That's the big one, and it really is for those change managers and people that want to keep up to date with announcements in the roadmap. So yeah, can't wait to dive into that.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that we thank our sponsor for this episode. They are big fans of our show, and we're big fans of them, and that's Valo Intranet.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Valo Intranet. Like us, Valo is a huge fan of Microsoft 365 and a friend of the show. So a big thanks goes to Valo. Valo Intranet solutions leverage the best that Microsoft has to offer and can dramatically improve your internal communications with their intelligent internet solution called Valo Intranet. They can also help you take back control of your Office 365 group creation and maintenance, and a whole lot more with Valo Teamwork. Visit them at valointranet.com and book a demo or call today.
Well, yeah, our headline. Check out that. Maybe it's a small thing, but I think it's actually quite impactful. A new feature is the 365 Microsoft 365 roadmap, which is part of the big three for keeping people up to date. And it's your starting point after you hear announcements at conferences and in blog posts, is adding an RSS feed to individual features, MC199460. I visit the roadmap occasionally, and I think we do, when we open up messages in the Message Center, sometimes they link through to these items, don't they, Daniel?
Yep, they sure do. It is the place, it's kind of the starting point for features and products to show up and let you know that they're being actively worked on and give you a time frame of when they might roll out. We have talked about this a lot, about how can we better use the roadmap. One thing was integrating with Planner to be able to assign tasks to people to take care of this message coming in. Let's take care of that with the Message Center being able to hook up with Planner. But there's been these conversations about how can we use the roadmap. It wasn't, you couldn't subscribe to a single RSS feed for things like, and I don't think you still can't, like, I want to know all just SharePoint stuff or whatever. Mm. But with this, what you can do is take all of the roadmap items as they're added, and the RSS feed URL is the same except for the ID for the message. So you'll be able to use that for something like Power Automate to take that roadmap item and then do something with it, like create a task for someone to handle that, you know, making sure that they're watching it, you know, stuff like that. So I think that for me, this is a big deal in keeping up with that change and trying to, what we've been really wanting for so long is the ability to see a feature or a product through the life cycle of someone recommends it, it gets added to the roadmap, it then gets added to the message center saying it's coming and hear more detail about it. And then the third part is the health center when it goes down. But to get a better, you know, a clearer picture of that process. And I think, you know, Microsoft's paying attention. This is one of those requests. The individual RSS feed for each item has been a request for a long time. So I'm excited for listening.
I want to pay tribute a bit. I don't know the names of the community members who have created different services that already scrape this and create RSS feeds. So hats off to you. You've filled the gap while we've been waiting for this to happen. And I guess to some extent too, the work that you've put in has provided other things as well. Just good to see Microsoft catching up. You know, right. That whole, like, partners, Microsoft partners, you'll get it, won't you? Like the whole, there's a gap there, partners will fill it, and then Microsoft will, provide 60% of that eventually. But the RSS feed is going to be useful. I just thought that I might quickly show one way that we could demonstrate that. I use Feedly as a RSS reader. What do you use, Daniel?
I don't.
You don't? You don't use an RSS reader?
No. RSS reader for me, I did. I used to use a Google RSS reader. I just don't use it anymore. For things like this, I actually use Flow to I create flows in Power Automate to look at certain blogs and such, and it just actually sends me an email when something's been posted.
Okay. This is my newspaper. I go here and I've got various different groups of feeds. I've got a bunch of tech community blogs.
Way more
blogs.
Sophisticated than I am. Way more.
Cheers. But I've got a bunch of the blogs for the individual product groups within the Microsoft tech community. So I think someone asked the other day, you know, how do we follow something like the Teams blog? That's what it was. It was on LinkedIn. And if you go to the blog within tech community and you can see the different number of stories, so go to that page where you see the feed of recent stories, there is an ellipsis button where you can grab the RSS feed above that that feed itself. So I bring those in. I've got other various different tech news as well in the Microsoft 365 blog. But what I added recently was the roadmap. And this is where, if you are going to grab, let's go back over here. We'll grab something from the roadmap. Jump in. The one that I grabbed as an example earlier, which I think you'd be waiting for too, Daniel, is that SharePoint experience within the Files tab of a channel. Let's maybe go and have a look for another feature. Filtered down to Office 365. Maybe we'll deselect them all again. Something from Teams. Real-time presence in development. So goal here, isn't it, that if you are looking at something, monitoring, saying, well, when is it starting to come, that this new RSS feed in Chrome, it doesn't actually show you the feed. Oh yeah, it does. Does Edge?
Yeah, it does.
So you actually get to read the content in Chrome. It's blah. But I'll go back to the RSS reader. I know for some people watching this, I'm teaching to suck eggs. And for those on the podcast, you're going, yeah, okay. Fast forward 10 seconds, fast forward 10 seconds. Is he done yet? but adding the, oops, not that one.
You'll hear a chime when Daryl is finished.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah, and add a more sentence. I did this from my iPad. Oh, there we go, sources. And then add a source somewhere. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm looking pretty dumb right now. I actually did this. I did this from the app, and it was a lot easier. But anyway, you get the idea. You grab it, and like if I want to keep up to date with the roadmap features, then see all articles, I guess. And if there was any change to this. Now, just to highlight, if you take a close look, 8 months ago is when this feature was announced. May 18th. When it was dropped onto the roadmap. How do you feel about that, Dan?
I think maybe it either is more complicated than they thought, or it is something that got put on the back burner for something else, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I think looking closer at it too, the content has changed a bit over time, that it's not simply now that they're going to teamify the library itself and ta-da, you've got everything, but it looks like they're sort of sneaking features in bit by bit. So that's how the item reads within the roadmap. But yeah, enough of that. You got the idea. So if you've got things that are interesting to you that you're following, and it's a feature that you heard about at Ignite or some, you know, the SharePoint conference, which is coming up in May, it always seems to come so quickly, right?
It does.
And you'd monitor them here. Right. Next one?
Sure.
The Outlook Intune admin notice. This is, again, it's like reading all sorts of different stories, because I read even just that title and I think, oh, it's a different product group, because it doesn't feel usual.
Right.
Outlook iOS support for SMIME with automated certificate delivery, and that is MC199562. It might have been 10 years ago, used SMIME or a certificate with email. Is that something you've ever used for email, Daniel?
I have used it. And I actually have some clients that use it, but I do not use it. Or maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. You know, it's kind of like I leave my front door unlocked every night too. So
yeah, why not? And your parcel's on the porch.
Of course. Yeah. I think for this one, it really is that you have the ability to deliver the certificates, the updated certificates, using Intune. And this is MC199562. And that's all this announcement is about, is to be able to do that. So that if what the biggest problem users have with sending secure emails is having to manage things. Users just want to type the email and hit send, don't want to have to, you know, update certificates or do weird stuff, especially on your phone. So I think being able to automatically send that out to those users is a great thing.
Yeah, and this is where Intune really comes into its own. That if you're wanting to manage devices, this is a great capability. It doesn't do it entirely automatically. So we read through that, and I think, oh, cool, this is great. My 40% of my end users will struggle with this, because they're like, eh, certificate, what? You know, I open it up and I use email. What do I have to do? So sadly, it's not going to just drop that certificate onto the phone and make it possible to use. It's going to use the, where is it? The, whatever that homepage thingo is for Intune. There's a name for it. Someone will correct me in the chat. Feel free, anyone in there. But that homepage, think of it like the Intune home, it's the SharePoint home. That when company portal, I knew it would come to me.
Oh, that's what portal. I said. I said company portal, but I was on mute. Oops, sorry.
And it wasn't even me that muted you. Company portal, that you go there, and there's still, here's a way to deliver those instructions. So it is a delivery mechanism. Go to this portal, download the certificate, and then follow these steps. The thing you do have to consider around applying SMIME is that if you are an organization or an individual that appreciates the threading capability of catching up with your threads and reading them that way, as soon as you introduce SMIME, the Outlook in any form cannot read that subject, so therefore cannot maintain the thread, and it's going to be an individual message each time. So maybe that doesn't bother you if you're not into conversation view, and that you're into that classic view of you've got your messages first in, first out, or first in, last out, whichever direction you read your messages. But that's a consideration. But Daniel, it sounds like some customers that you have, I would say, customers that do need that high level of security, it's not going to be a choice, is it? You have to put that certificate on.
Yeah, and for the most part, they are using it to transmit sensitive information. So it's not necessarily all their emails.
Oh.
But when they want to communicate with outside parties with sensitive information, I've had them use that as a method to do that. But it is, I don't see a lot of companies using it 100%. So that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It's just none of my clients use it 100%.
Mm-hmm. And so in saying that then, while it does look like a message that is only interesting to admins and making their job easier for getting certificates out there, there is the end user side. So if this is something that affects you, don't just say there is nothing you need to do. There is something you need to do. And that is, if you're deploying certificates, you're telling and preparing your users ahead of time that we are going to start using certificates. And by the way, once you've got it on your devices, here's how you use it. You may be an org that only uses it occasionally when you need to send something, just one message securely with some content. So I like that. Sticky notes.
Sticky notes. So Outlook on the web, syncing with sticky notes. This is MC199563. Yes. Rolling out late January 2020 for targeted release March, end of March 2020 for everyone else to be completed. Do you use sticky notes in Windows, Daryl?
No. I use OneNote through and through. It's all in one notebook. But, in saying that, I can see it could be helpful for those who want that slightly more tactile experience of I'm putting a note up here in Windows and I'm putting a note down there. Good to see, though, it's synchronizing with this crazy notes thing that we've had within Outlook for some time. I sometimes occasionally bump that one by accident as a shortcut key. I've got a note and it goes full screen. I'm like, oh, great big yellow note. But do you use them?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I use OneNote. I do a quick note. If I need something quickly, I'll use the quick note in OneNote and get it done that way. Or Notepad.
But it is synchronizing. It's going to be a choice that if you do turn that on, what you are turning on as an admin is the ability to sync. If you turn it off, it's not preventing people from using sticky notes in that Windows experience or going to Outlook on the web and using sticky notes there. And, really, if you're going to have those two experiences, you might as well make it nice for people so that they can sync that experience everywhere. I did remember, you do get that sticky note experience on your mobiles within the OneNote app as well. Yeah. Yeah.
You muted. On your mobiles?
Yeah. On your mobiles.
Like on...
Mobile. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much. No. OneNote, and then down the bottom we've got notebooks. We've got search, and then eventually once it loads, no, don't share those. Blur. Let's have a look there.
Don't show those.
Yeah. There we go. The bottom right. sticky notes. So if I was synchronizing, that's another place. Yeah, there's very little there at the moment.
Daryl, what were you just doing for the audio listeners? What were you
for
just
the
doing?
Audio listeners? I was doing jazzercise. Yeah, with my leg. Oh, okay. No, I was opening up the OneNote app on an iPhone and showing that sticky notes is an experience also within the OneNote app, synchronizing the same folder from Outlook.
It is.
Moving on right. A bit more. Power automate to approve hub site joins. Look, anything that we can get and use to help us provision things and have an approval process gives a lot of confidence to admins and to organizations who want a bit more control over things as they are created. So that's MC199669. You use Power Automate to approve hub site joints. Yeah. What do you know and about this, Daniel?
Well, it was, we've already been told about this, being able to do this, and it was supposed to already be out. But I guess, doesn't it say? October. It was supposed to start rolling out October, and now it's going to be this month, January 2020. And what is interesting is they're rolling it out quickly, supposedly by the end of January to everyone. And so the you'll see there in the screenshot that you're able to when you're creating in the hub settings for the site that's a hub, you can say that required that approval is required for joining that site. And I think for the most part, I see organizations using this because especially organizations that allow users, they give them the power to create sites or to administrate their sites. You know, some organizations don't do that. And you know, I have spoken with customers before and those at conferences and stuff, and they say, no, we create all sites in IT. No one else creates them. No one else manages them. The highest they have is contribute. I'm like, wow, okay, that's interesting. But if you are allowing your users to administrate their site, well, one thing if they're a site collection admin, they'll be able to join a hub. But maybe you don't want, you know, your hub owners will want to manage that so that someone just doesn't rogue put their site collection attached to your hub. It's not a security risk per se. It's just making sure organizationally that everything is organized the way we want it to be, right? So it is just that I don't want someone in IT joining one of their project sites or something to my HR portal when it has nothing to do with HR. They just mistakenly did it, right?
Unless it's an HR project.
That's what, but you know, you just want to manage it. And so I think this is great. I'm glad it's finally coming. And even though there was a short delay.
And everyone with me around the world, what is Power Automate? It is the new gnome of Flow, right?
I was supposed to jump in there.
You were. And look, I'll just blame your lack of timing on the delay. And I'm so disappointed with all the people in the chat room. They didn't type the new name of Flow at the same time. That's probably because they're 30 seconds behind this broadcast.
Right.
Enough of that. Bad dad jokes.
Keep moving. Maybe they'll forget quickly.
Yeah. Get some therapy for that one. Updated feature for Power Apps, custom forms integration for SharePoint libraries. Yet another one that we've seen, and some more updates around timing. MC199670. So yes, we mentioned it last year, decade as well. That the feature was going to be coming out previously mid-November. It's another one that they're pushing to make happen before the end of January 2020. Do we need to say much more about that?
I don't think we do. That's the only update here is the timing. And this is something that we've had in SharePoint List, and now we're going to have in libraries. It's great, but we'll be able to use it whenever it comes, whenever it gets here.
I just saw Ian, he typed Flow with an exclamation mark. There you go. He was well-timed as well.
Oh, my goodness.
And sorry, podcast listeners, you can shout it out. You probably were in more timing, better timing than we all were.
I'd hope so.
Never mind. Never mind.
They can pause. They can hit the pause button.
They can pause and go back and practice, you know. And one, two, three, go. Here's your zappy announcement message. I know, sorry. Is it too early for you? Look, it's I'm the one experiencing early mornings here. You look like you're like
never mind. Whoa, hey now. Don't be critical of the co-host. MC199634, retirement of Zap-enabled parameter in hosted content filter policy commandlets.
I like the phrasing there. It's like you're like, this is hard to read. Keep going.
No, I wanted to make sure that I like how they have put the commandlet name in there. It's fantastic. So basically what this is a 0-hour feature in Exchange to where mail that's already been delivered to mailboxes, they can use these features to go out and zap. They can zap the malicious functionality in those emails after it's already gotten through the filters to the mailboxes. So basically what this is doing, the retiring, it had one parameter, which was zap-enabled, and now they're splitting it out to spam zap-enabled and fish, PH, fish zap-enabled. So they're replacing the one with two, so you can have separate settings for whether you want to do this in phishing and spam. Because I see spam and phishing is they're not on the same level of maliciousness, right? So you might want to have a different setting for those. And it's just that right now what's going to happen when they implement this is those two settings will inherit the Zap-enabled setting. And so if you have it turned on, great. Then, you know, the spam zap and the fish zap will be enabled as well. And then when they actually turn it off, if you've made no changes, then they will retain those settings. So you really don't have to do anything. If you don't want to, it's going to retain those settings if you want to keep it the same. But if you want to tweak how spam and phishing is handled with this 0-hour protection, then you'll need to make those changes. I think the retired March 1st, 2020 will be retired. You can
I think it's also that the old command that's splitting into two, if you have any scripts that are using that old commands, be mindful that you'll need to change them to be using these new commands and be more granular. I guess it didn't occur to me until I tried to understand what Zap was. And if you're a change manager or someone who's just casting your eye through this, you're like, whoa, okay, what is this? There's a whole lot of camel hump commandlets. And I say camel hump because it's the, you know, large capitalized letter to make it reading easier. And you look at that and go, well, what is all this? But think of this. This is what we want to protect our end users from is spam, okay? Spam is spam. It's annoying. Phishing is dodgy. There's something in there where they're trying to get you to grab your details.
Yeah.
But they're sneaky, sneaky buggers, right? What they do is they've got the link and the link goes off to something that is harmless to start with. Harmless. And so it goes through, it's sitting in people's mailboxes, and then after the fact they change the address to where that link goes, and now it's something malicious. This is where Zap comes into it, can go into your mailbox and deal with it. However, which one was it? There was one of them, I think it was the malware one, where if you've already read the message, it can't do something with it. And there was another one which had like a 2-day limit. If it hasn't done anything within 2 days. Yeah, and I think it's a bit weird that they're saying that's the limitation of the service. That's like saying, hey, people writing this stuff, if you make the link change on day 3, then we won't be able to find you. Am I a bit silly pointing that out? Or am I just, you know, trying to,
you know? Yes, you are silly. I want to make sure that you do realize you are silly, right?
No, I mean about this message, Daniel, not in general. Oh, I know I'm silly.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Never mind. Meanie, let's have a talk later. But yeah, I think it's good that we should prepare our people. The one thing I did was thinking about this, that if you are starting to use this, do let people know that this might mean that a message suddenly disappears from their inbox because Zap comes in and finds this thing and quarantines it or deals with it. And let them know, look, don't be alarmed, that it is something that is legit. It's found something, the service has found something. It's come from someone that might be unfamiliar, or it's just a weird topic. Yeah, so that is the messages for the day.
I actually had a couple more, or three more, that popped up that were just edited. Okay. So timing and everything. One was the Service Health Dashboard email notifications that just went GA. We talked about that before, about how you can get email notifications. The new location of the chat button in Teams that was delayed, but is now. And that item is, just for those that want to go look it up, 196069. It was supposed to be in November starting to roll out. Now it's going to be mid-January to mid-February. So I'm looking forward to that. In fact, I noticed that this week, and I'm like, this chat button is, I hate that chat button. It pretends like it's not there. And then the new account management experience, we've talked about that before, about how you can go in and change settings, in your own account, and that'll be changing up. So that is, was MC198030. And I think they're just changing I think they're just updated some of the text on that one. So other than that, I think we definitely covered it.
Yep. You may have also seen that there's been an update to the iOS app for the admin app, which, you know, that morning last week where we were talking about it and we're like, I did check in on the train and someone pointed out to me it has actually been updated that day.
It didn't roll out to me until yesterday.
Really?
Okay. It was not, I mean, I checked my iOS updates. I don't like that red number showing that I have something. So I go and update my apps pretty regularly, every other day or so. I don't let them automatically update. But anyway, I digress. And so it was just yesterday when I got it. Mm-hmm. The one thing, someone was on Twitter that responded to my tweet kind of highlighting it, saying that they still get an error or something. So if you do get errors with it, I actually suggest you delete the app and re-add it. That usually works for me.
Yep. So now dark mode for iOS is cooperating, or rather the admin app is cooperating with dark mode on iOS.
Right.
Hoorah. Then the other bit of news, I noticed that there's a new show that was kind of being teased by the Microsoft tech community, something called The Uptake podcast. This actually makes sense. So Anna Chu's cruising around the world to different Microsoft Ignite the Tour events with the tech community team. They're going to take the opportunity to be talking to people at each of those events to get their reactions, hear their stories, and sort of bring a bit more of humans and IT story to that channel. So go along to the Microsoft Tech Community YouTube channel. You'll find that there and subscribe, and you'll find that the videos will be appearing there. And there's also a podcast. I think the Twitter handle is The Uptake Podcast. Yeah, check it out.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks again. I'm just on my little walker here at my standing desk. Tune in next week when you hear Daniel say...
Go somewhere. Titans!
What? Come on. Catch you again. Bye for now.